Well, good evening, everyone. If you would grab a hymn book and stand, let's turn to page 395. 395, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. Let's sing the first and last verse.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony. When the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Amen. Well, this evening, folks, it's sure good to be back in the Lord's house. We can worship Him together, and we have the pleasure of having the Handy family with us, and we'll be hearing from Brother Chad Handy in a little bit. Please be in prayer for him. I'd ask you to also be in prayer for the Sauter family. This is Sergeant Major Sauter was killed in action in Afghanistan a couple days ago, and he's a son of a family that the Hudson's prior family in Buffalo, Texas, and on the other side of that, his chaplain is Captain Matt Holder. So the connection back to our church here. So please pray for Brother Matt as he ministers to that family. Pray for that family. Is this? I guess he was father of three, I believe, and was on his fifth or sixth tour in Afghanistan with two weeks left, and he would have been getting out. And so please, if you would, pray for all those ones involved. He will be being flying into Dover, Maryland, where they'll be receiving his flag-draped casket. So please pray for them. Let's take a couple minutes, dear ones, and welcome each other in the Lord tonight.
Thank you.
Sing it with me.
He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Let's also turn in our hymn books to 173. 173. On the first,
it may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Let's sing the last.
It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
249. This will be a little bit more familiar. I was rusty on that one. Heaven came down. Although we're going to sing the second verse this time, and has anyone ever sung the second verse? I don't remember singing this in a long time. On the first.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
On the second.
Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. You can be seated.
Good evening, Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's good to be with you again. Man, please come forward for the offering. How's everybody doing, visitors? It's good to see you. Good to have you here tonight with us. So I just want to tell y'all something real quick. All kinds of people have been trying to sell me insurance, life insurance. Think the Lord is trying to tell me something? He's about to take me home, huh? I wouldn't mind, not at all. Brother Chad Handy, church planner, him and his family are here tonight. It's still not too late to apply at Texas Theological University and Seminary. For more questions, get with Ms. Sarah Evans. Would you like to be a volunteer? We need nursery workers, greeters, prayer warriors, and children's church. Men's breakfast, July the 29th at 9 a.m. And continue to pray for the Hope Ministry, which meets every Friday night at 7 p.m. And those of you that want to play some basketball, and it have been, we're doing a basketball every Monday night at 6 p.m. here at Metropolitan at the church. And Calvary Baptist, Eufaula in Oklahoma, ladies retreat, the 7th grade and up. August 16th and the 17th, sign up at the Welcome Center. I believe tonight is the last night, so get with Miss Marcia if you're planning to go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, and we thank you for the time that we're here at Metropolitan and everybody that's here tonight. Father, we pray that you speak to our hearts today. We pray that you be with Brother Chad and give him the words to say. Father God, we pray that we can be that light here in this community and in Lake Worth, and that we can reach those that are without Christ. Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Here by Brother Handy and what the ministry is that they have planned, but I'm not going to read any of it to you. I'm going to let him explain all that and then let him introduce his dear family that's with him this evening. I've known Brother Handy for, I don't know, several years. I don't know how many years, but about the time the Littles came into our life, wasn't too long after that, we met the Handys as well. And that's a blessing, of course. But it's good to have them with us this evening. I'm going to let him explain the ministry that the Lord has given to them. And he's also going to preach for us. So please pray for Brother Handy as he comes. Brother.
Thank you, Brother Turner. Amen. Is this thing on? And I didn't even know it. Man, it's a good thing I didn't say anything. Oh, well, I'm Chad Handy. I'm the missionary or the church planner. Excuse me, I'm trying to get things set up here. To Plano, Texas. One thing that I see in our Metroplex nowadays is there's very few churches, independent, fundamental, King James churches, Baptist churches, staying open anymore. They're most of them, people, for lack of better terms, there's not as much excitement. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We can have excitement in our churches. Yes, we can. We can have a good time in church. We can enjoy this. But our churches are dying by the day, all the time. I've been looking for things and, you know, things we might need at our new church. And I'm looking on the internet and I'm noticing that, man, all these churches are wanting to sell pews. They're wanting to sell their pulpits. They're wanting to sell pianos and organs and all this stuff. They're wanting to do all this. And I'm thinking, why in the world is everybody getting rid of all this? You know, it sounded good to me, but it really isn't. Our churches are dying and we need some people to get out there. And I grew up here. I grew up in Fort Worth, born and raised, proud to be a Texan, proud to be a Texan. But the thing about it is, and it almost makes me want to cry because I do love where I'm from so much, is that I grew up independent, fundamental Baptist. I grew up where the Bible was preached. I grew up in my teenage years to where soul winning was important. And you know, one of the greatest things, and I've had people compliment us on the fact that my boys, each one of my boys, since my now 12-year-old, since he was 10 years old, could lead somebody to the Lord. And I mean, it's not a miracle. I'm just saying, it's just because they were around that. They knew what was right and they knew what to hear. And they found out that it was important that you tell others about Jesus. And we're having churches all around us dying because nobody's telling about Jesus. And another thing is in our platforms, our preachers aren't giving out doctrine. They're not giving out why you should believe what this book says. Amen. They're kind of trying to keep a crowd. And folks, I'm not trying to do that. I'm going to be out and I'm going to present the gospel. I plan on winning souls. I plan on baptizing. I plan on discipling them. And I plan on letting the Lord grow the church. Amen. That's my goal. We're going to Plano, Texas. My family, if y'all would stand up. This is my wife, Kelly. My oldest son, Chad. My second son, Nate, or Seth, and my youngest son, Nate. Y'all have a seat. We're Kelly and I have been married for 21 years. What's funny is, and I'm going to tell you this, it all sounds funny. It made me look up there in the sound booth, and I saw a fat, ugly head up there. But it's funny because Alan and I were in the same youth department together. We went to the same high school. We went to the same Bible college. We got married the same year. Our firstborns are born the same year. And it's kind of funny that it happened that way. But actually, the ladies we met in the youth department were the ladies we married too. So it's funny that way. Let me tell you a few stats about Plano. Plano is in Collin County. Collin County right now is the fastest growing county in the United States of America. You would say Houston or New York or California, somewhere in California. But Collin County is the fastest growing county in the DFW metroplex, or in the country, and it has almost a million people in it. You say that's the fastest growing? Just listen. By the end of 2020, they're expecting over 2 million people to be living in Collin County. In the city of Plano, there's almost 200, I was looking at stats today, there's almost 290,000 people living in the city of Plano. Plano is the second fastest growing city in Collin County. In the city of Plano alone, Plano right now is kind of a, they're growing financially. A lot of companies are moving there. Big companies, Capital One Finance, DXC Technology, Bank of America, Toyota Motor Company of North America, Frito-Lay, JCPenney's, Health Medical City, and Texas Health are all in Plano. That's where their headquarters are. And those aren't little bitty companies. Those are very, they're in the Forbes 1000 companies, the richest companies in the country. And they're all there. That's where their headquarters are. And that, so people are moving there constantly. There's a church that I'm one. I was telling Miss Susie this earlier. There's a church there that I'm going to try to see if I can rent when we get there. Instead of a storefront, I want to meet at a church. It's an independent Baptist church as well, but I am going to, they don't run very many. I feel like going to a church and having a stable place at a church is what's best for us. I think if I said, hey, we're from Plano Baptist Temple, which, by the way, is going to be the name of our church, Plano Baptist Temple, and we're meeting Sunday afternoons at 2:30 at Central Baptist Church is. Our church is renting that church. And it's a lot easier than saying, we're going to meet at this storefront over here off of McKinney Avenue. I want to be able to have a church atmosphere. I want it to be exciting. I want it to where they come in, they don't have to worry about it looking weird. It looks like a church. And that's one of the things that excites me. Is when they come, I want them to know they're not coming to a place that a guy's going to entertain them, or a guy's going to show them this, or a guy's going to show them that. There's going to be a man there that wants to tell them about the Savior. There's going to be a man there that wants to tell them how they can have a changed life. There's going to be a man there that wants to share with them great things that God can do for them, and that they can be excited about it. And I'm going to tell you this. One thing that I found as a teenager, and it's great to see all these teenagers. It is. I'm excited. That makes me happy to see a church that has young blood. That's what Brother Garris used to tell us. Ron Garris used to say, it's nice to see the young blood. And it's good to see that, brother. But I want them to know that they can come here and they can bring their friends here. They can bring their family here. Their family can hear the gospel. Their family doesn't have to die and go to hell anymore. Amen. And they can be excited about that. They can realize that eternity is real. Eternity is going to happen. No matter whether they like it or not, eternity is going to happen. And it's going to happen for the good or for the bad for some. And folks, we've got to get a grasp on that as Christians. As saved children of God, we have got to get a grasp on the fact that eternity is real. Once you do that, soul winning comes so easy, because it causes you to look at somebody and say, I wonder if that person is dying and going to hell. Young person, I'm going to encourage you. You have a bigger and a wider door. I heard this when I was a young person, and it's the truth. You have a bigger and wider door than I as an adult, than your pastor, than your youth director could ever have. You do. You have youth on your side. You have the ability to fit in places that I can't fit in. You can talk to adults. You can talk to young people. And I'm going to tell you this. this is the biggest truth. You can have a part in little kids' lives like you never believe. If y'all have a van ministry and a bus ministry, young people, I want to encourage you, get on that. Be a part of that. Be a part of the activities that go on here, the ministries you have. Whatever you can do, you get in it. Whether it means you jump off that bus when you stop at a house and you run to that door and you get that kid, I'm going to tell you, you have just as much of a blessing from the Lord as that guy that's driving that bus or that lady that's or the man or whoever that's on that bus. God's going to bless you for that. I want you to get your Bibles out tonight. I want you to turn to Titus chapter 2. You like these? These are different for me. I don't like glasses. But I have to wear them now. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2. And Titus chapter 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. And I promise you, I don't know if your pastor says we won't be long tonight. And he really is long. But I know this. I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you out of here. I didn't say early. I just said I'm going to get you out of here. But we're going to be in Titus chapter 2. And after we read Titus chapter 2, we're not going to be going back there. I want you to flip back a page over and we're going to go back to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 2. I want you all to look at it when I read it. Titus chapter 2 verse 12. All right. Once you've gotten to Philemon, you went too far. All right, Titus chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Turn back over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, that God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for your power tonight. I ask for your help. I stand behind this pulpit, Lord, a special place and a holy place. A place where men of God, many men of God, have stood behind, men that are much more worthy, much more, have much more ability than I could ever have. I thank you for the heritage that this church has. And as a kid, I remember this church and all that, how important everything was that came out of here. Lord, I pray that you'd help this church to be a beacon where they are. I pray in this community that folks would see this place and know that not just their friends are here, but their spiritual needs can be met here. Lord, bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Tonight, I'm going to preach on something I heard in Sunday school. And a preacher brought this up. And he said this to me. He was kind of using me as an illustration. I was directing the singing. I was leading the singing in Sunday school, and he said, "Man, I hope when we get to heaven, you sure do sing better." And I said, "I appreciate that, Brother Travis." And this man, I can't sing like I used to. I did. My medicine has messed me up. But he was laughing. He was just poking fun at me. But he used that word hope. And it just kind of stuck in my head all day long. Hope, hope, hope. And we use that word real flippantly these days. You know, I hope I can have this. I hope I get that new pair of shoes when I come back from camp. Isn't that right? I hope I can have this. And I hope this. I hope everything works out this week at work. I hope all the residents treat me good. I hope this and I hope that. I hope we get a new car by the end of the year. Hope our tax return's big, honey. All right, I know. We hope that too down here. But the word hope, when we look at the word hope in the Bible, it's a whole different look.
Amen.
It's a whole different aspect. Tonight I'm going to bring you a message of hope. I'm going to bring you a message of something that is going to encourage you, that is going to lift you up, that I promise if you get a hold of tonight, you can do something for the Lord. Let me put it like this. The Lord can do something through you that you couldn't do through yourself. The Lord's going to be able to use you if you get this truth tonight. If you realize this word hope is something that can help you, that this word hope is something that can lift you up, that this word hope is something that is true.
Amen.
It's not something that we maybe like just a gamble. It's nothing like we shoot dice or something like that. This is something that's real. The word hope in the Bible is a very important word. When we see it here in Titus chapter 1, in hope of eternal life. The rest of that verse says, in God which cannot lie, promise before the world began. In hope of eternal life. Folks, I don't know about you. My hope lies in eternity. My hope lies in my eternal life with Jesus Christ. My hope lies in that. And tonight I want to say, I want your hope to be there.
Amen.
Tonight I want to say, I want you to look for that. Young person, I want your hope to be in the eternity of you and God in heaven. I do.
Amen.
But you've got to get a hold of that yourself tonight. The word hope is mentioned 68 times in the Old Testament and 58 times in the New Testament. The word hope always has something to do with a sure truth, with something that's sure, to know something, to not wonder about it, but to know something. Hope has several different aspects that can be used many different ways. Hope, again, this day and time is a very touchy subject. It's a very touchy subject. It's nothing to be used very loosely, and a lot of people these days and time do. The Bible is it's a pinnacle of truth and hope. Listen to that. The Bible is a pinnacle of truth and hope for this world.
Yes,
folks, we must stand on this word.
Amen.
We must look and we must stand behind what God says. We must stand up and say, I'm going to believe this word. It makes no difference if the man that stands up here says whatever. I'm going to believe this book. I'm going to trust God for what He says. I thank God that God allowed men in my life that shared with me, that showed me, that told me the things that I needed, that told me the things out of this book. Young person, when your youth pastor or your pastor gets on to you, and believe me, my pastor and my youth pastor got on to me a lot. I'm going to tell you this. They use this word, and it corrects, and it'll help. It's a pinnacle. It's the pinnacle. It's the basis of truth and hope. Tonight, get that. The Bible, a hope and truth and confidence, no doubt. In this book, there's all of that, and there's not something that we should even question. And it goes back to Titus 2:13. It's not feelings, emotions. It's just the truth. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This world's hope is desirous. It's self-indulging. It's emotion-driven. I'm just going to tell you tonight, this is a hope in this world is a me word. It is. It's all about me. I hope I can have. I hope we can get. And maybe you're hoping for your family. Maybe some of you are out there. You're hoping for a new home. Or my brother-in-law and sister-in-law had wanted children for years and years and years, and they had hoped God would give them a child. But it wasn't something that they could stand on. And it was something good. And you know what? They prayed and prayed and prayed. And they begged God and begged God and begged God. And I don't know if any, I know Brother Wayne and Miss Susie know my brother-in-law, Brother Russell Brock. But when they got to adopt a baby, it was a blessing for them. Well, he hasn't been adopted yet, but they're working on that. And it was all because he was doing what the Lord wanted him to do, where the Lord wanted him to do it. And God blessed that. But I'm just saying, it was about him. It was about them. It wasn't about that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the Bible word hope is something you can know. It's something you don't have to worry about. To hope, and the hope of eternal life, you can give out. You can share tonight. The hope of living for God and knowing that you got a Savior that loves you, that is coming back for you. He's coming back for you. Realize that tonight. He's coming back for you. He knows, I mean, we hear it all the time. He knows the hairs on my head. He knows all about me. But think of it, really realize that God is coming back for Chad Handy. I look at that and I say, man, there's no way he could do that for me. I'm not that important. I mean, I look at other people, and my family will tell you, I look up to Brother Wayne and Miss Susie so much, and they've been a blessing in my life. But I'm going to tell you this, all right? God sees me just as important as he does him. And God sees that little bitty young girl or young boy that's just like mine were when they were little, that's asleep in that seat right next to you. He sees him just as much.
That's right.
And God loves that one. And folks, we must share the gospel with our kids. But tonight as I get in and when I get through point, when I start going through points and I'm done with my introduction, points go fast. Amen. But tonight, hope is good. Hope is what's going to get you through the hard times. We face these regularly, and we must have hope that God will take us through them.
Amen.
This hope isn't, it's going to get you through the hard times, knowing that God loves me, that Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried and rose again on the third day for me.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, isn't that good to know that there's victory?
That's right.
Amen. We were listening to a song on the way here, and you know what? It talks about, basically, it said, to bring me the victory, he had to rise. Amen. He had to die to pay for it all. But to just for that finishing touch, that victory, he had to rise.
Amen.
And hallelujah, isn't God good?
Amen.
He rose. Jesus Christ rose again the third day. That'll get you through a day to know that man, everything bad's happening. I feel for that family. I really did. And I could see the emotion whenever you were talking about that. And Miss Susie was talking about that. And brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our soldiers.
That's right.
We need to pray for our leadership in our country. And I'm going to tell you this, as much as I didn't care for the president we had before, I'm going to tell you this, I prayed for him. I did. I prayed for that man's salvation. Because I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. But I'm going to tell you something, no matter how bad things get, no matter how bad things are going, hope will get you through the hard times. Hope will get you through the faithless times. When times that man, the money's drawing thin. Amen? Amen? Probably early in your ministry, you remember those times. All right? And whenever things are going thin, whenever it seems like we're not going to be able to make the bills. And you know, everybody says, I know it runs thin for everybody. Believe me. All right? The church members, whenever things are going tight, whenever it looks like, man, God, are we even going to make it this week? Realize who the one that gave you the job was. Realize who the one that pays your bills are. Realize who the one that's going to meet your needs are. And as we step out on our adventure for the Lord, as we step out to be church planters to Plano, I'm going to tell you something. This is different for us. This is a step out of a big box for us. I've never done anything like this. I mean, I've worked in a youth department. I've worked in a bus ministry. I've worked in Sunday school. I've preached. I've done many other things. I've taught Sunday school. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm scared to death. But I know this, that through this time, God's going to get us through it.
Yes,
I've got hope in my Savior that He's going to get me through this. This is when not understanding in situations that are happening in your life that need some explaining, but we must trust our Savior. Through decisions, hope that God will guide us through the right way in these. We must walk close to God and be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Folks, I know you hear about the Holy Ghost here at this church. I know that the power of God is preached at this church. I know that you hear that the Spirit of God and submitting to Him is at this church. You must do that. It is the greatest thing. There's peace in your heart. There's things that are laid off of your back when you realize there's hope in surrendering and giving up to the Holy Ghost of God. It's a very important thing. And hope is good in the work. Folks, I want to encourage you, be a part of the work here. Be a part of the work at your church. This church needs you.
Amen.
This church loves you. They care about what's going on with you. They care about what's happening. Say, hey, preacher, all right, I don't know what y'all do about maintenance, what y'all do about cleaning, anything like that. But I'm saying, hey, step up and say one Saturday and say, hey, preacher, we'll clean the church this week. We'll clean the bathrooms. We'll do this or we'll do that, preacher. Can we help? Can we start this? Can we clean the church every week? Can we work on the bus? Can we work on a bus? Can we clean a bus? Can we clean the buses this week? You know, it wouldn't upset you if somebody came up to you. I'm just telling you, folks, be a blessing.
Amen.
When it's the work of God, there's hope in the work of God.
Amen.
There's hope there. Number one, hope is good. Number two, hope is great. Hope gives you peace in knowing that God's going to take care of everything. Hope will give you peace. There's no greater feeling to know that you're in the will of God. I worked at a church for 3 years. We've been there, and we're going out of that church. But we were there. We've been there for 3 years. And you know what? I found out that, you know, things are going good, and we're getting by financially. And, I mean, everything was looking good, and it was good. But I had to realize there was no peace there. There was something that God was doing to me. There was something that God was moving me to. I wasn't sure what it was. I wasn't. I called Brother Wayne and asked him, What do I know? You know, how am I going to do this? I mean, it was long before I had anything. I called another preacher or two other preachers. I talked to my pastor, and I wasn't sure. But when the Lord finally spoke to my heart, it was just peace when I realized I've got to give up. I've just got to. It was good. And hope was, that peace is great in my heart. To know that you know, my family's behind me. To be excited that, you know, as scary as it is for us, as scary as it is for my wife, to be behind her husband, that, you know, many of you don't know, some of you do. I'm epileptic, and I have seizures. And that's a scary thing. Amen, Brother Wayne? He was preaching a meeting at a church we were going to, and I had a seizure at church. And it wasn't a surprise. And one of the things Brother Mickey used to say when I would preach up there on the pulpit at South Fort Worth, he'd say, if he goes into a seizure, just roll him over to the side and somebody else take over. But God is great.
Yes, sir.
And there's peace in serving God. There's peace in knowing that my wife is behind me. There's peace in knowing that my boys are going to be there, that are going to stand up, that are going to be strong, that God is moving in a great way, and that living for God, there's peace there. There's joy, and it's great to live for God. It's great to have a relationship with God. Folks, tonight, if you don't read your Bible on a regular basis, if you don't pray, folks, your prayers aren't going to get answered. You're missing the greatest hope. You're missing the biggest opportunity in your life. Read your Bible, pray, walk with God. Walk with God. You'll never submit to the Holy Spirit of God until there's a time that you walk with Him.
Amen.
Let Him listen to Him. Young person tonight, read your Bible. Get into a habit. My pastor always told us when we were younger was get up early in the morning. You know what? My family will tell you, I ain't a morning person. I ain't. All right? Everybody says, I got to have my cup of coffee in the morning. It's going to take more than a cup of coffee for me. I can't drink coffee anymore now that I can't have caffeine. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you something great. All right? Reading God's Word and praying is the best thing that'll do for your life. You'll receive something in your heart. You read God's Word. You memorize God's Word. I was told that as a young man, memorize the Word. And I started doing that in Psalms. I started memorizing little bits here and there and here and there. And I heard a preacher say this one time, that the best way that he memorized Scripture was by kind of putting it in a rhythm. And he would make songs out of it. And many of you who know or heard of Lester Roloff did that a lot. He taught those girls and those children down in those homes, down in Corpus Christi, different songs like that. And I'm talking whole chapters they were singing on this thing. And it's just, have a relationship with God. There's hope in that. There's excitement in that. It's good to know that the God of heaven is talking to you.
Amen.
Young person tonight, if God isn't speaking to you, if God isn't moving in your heart, there's something wrong with you, not Him.
That's right.
You're not allowing Him to talk to you. You're not saying, God, take control. You do the work. You do the talking. You do all the movements, Lord. And lastly, hope is giving. Folks, I don't know, and I'm just preaching what the Lord gave me tonight. But hope is giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I'm sorry, I wasn't going to read this, but I am. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. All right, many of you already even know this. Many of you could probably quote it. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaking together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you," or it shall be measured to you again. Folks, hope is giving. Hope is. It's giving tonight. Men like Abraham, Joseph, Noah, Joshua. We see Paul. I heard a preacher say this week, he said this past week, he said, you know what? Peter is the only man that came in second place in walking on water. But he said nobody else came in third. He said, Peter's the only man that came in second place. He said, how would you feel about coming in second place to Jesus Christ? Amen. I thought, well, that's a good truth right there. I'd like to be second place to Jesus. But hope is giving. Men like Abraham with blind faith. Men like Joseph with hard faith. Folks, if you ever thought you went through something, I'm going to tell you something. We didn't go through nothing. I mean, we hear about the trials of Job. But I'm going to tell you something. Joseph went through some trials. He got lied about to important people. He got lied about. And he was a great man. Hope is giving. Noah gave with consistent faith. He was consistent in what he did. He stuck with it. Preached when people didn't want to hear it. When people made fun of him. People probably laughed at him and cursed at him. You know, mocked him. And the Bible says he still did what God told him to do. He stuck with the hope that he knew.
Yes, sir.
He knew God was going to work. He knew that God was going to do something. And then we see Joshua with a fighting faith. I love Joshua. Joshua is a picture of strength. He's a picture of not quitting. A man that it seemed like when things would get rough and the folks would fall, he would, when your mentors, Moses, hey, you got something good there. But, I mean, he was there to say, all right, come on. And he was that sergeant that just said, get up, let's go. Get up, let's move forward. Don't stop, we got to go. He was that one with that fighting faith. And if you want, you can look in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see all of that. Those men, they had faith that was powerful. They had faith that they followed God. There was hope there in giving. And for the Christian, hope is gigantic. Folks, tonight, hope is gigantic. For the Christian, I honestly look at it like this a lot. When we get to heaven, everybody, you hear people say, I'm gonna go talk to Peter. I'm gonna go talk to Paul. I don't know where other people are gonna be, but I kind of got a feeling I'm gonna be around Jesus. Amen. I think I'm gonna want to be there. I don't think you're gonna give a care about Peter or Paul.
Amen.
Oh, and honestly, I take this the right way. I don't think you're gonna want to be around Mary either. I think you're gonna want to be around Jesus. I think you're gonna be so excited for the simple fact that, you know. The Queen of Sheba said that about Solomon's temple, that the half has not been told. I don't even think we're going to be able to imagine in our greatest imagination what heaven is going to be like. And it's eternity. It's gigantic. It's great. You know, it's so big that there's only one street. It's so big that it's beautiful. That there's, I mean, you can see it and see it and see it all through here. But I don't think we're going to be able to understand it until we get there.
Yes.
And hope for the Christian is eternal life.
Yes.
It's peace. Yes. And folks, I'm not a prosperity preacher, believe me. I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. For the Christian, hope is prosperity.
Amen.
Hope is prosperity. If you listen to what I said tonight about living for the Lord, about surrendering to the Holy Ghost of God, about having a relationship with God, folks, hope is gigantic.
Amen.
Hope is huge. It's something that will, if our church members will get a hold of it, if our people, our young people will be a part of it, hope is gigantic for the Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's the biggest thing. To be able to tell somebody about Jesus. Hope is huge.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you this. For the sinner, hope is hell. That's all they have to look forward to. A place of blackness. A place to where they're burning. Their skin's coming off. The Bible says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, I mean, I've been burnt before. And I'm going to tell you this, that hurts. And that wasn't bad. There's a little boy in our church, he put his hand on the stove, and he had third-degree burns on his hand. He's three, I think, two. He put his hand on the stove. I don't know. And he's a big old boy. He put his hand on that thing, and he just, like I would have, he started crying. But, I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. To where your skin falls off. And they were, she took a video of it. She's one of those weird moms. She took a video of it. And they were peeling the skin off. And it was weird. And I thought, good night. And later on I thought, man, and hell is not going to even come close to that. It's going to be worse. Folks, we have got to get out there now. You have got to get out there now. Your neighbors need to know Jesus Christ died for them. Your neighbors need to know that you live for Jesus Christ. They need to know that Sunday morning when you get up early and you're going to church, they need to know that Sunday afternoon when you're coming to church here, they need to know that Wednesday, every Wednesday, that car is out of the driveway. They need to know there's something different about them. The hope of eternal life. Of God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. That hope is in you.
Amen.
To share with them.
That's right.
God lays it in your lap to say, tell them. You, many of you have family members that are lost here, and you've never told them the gospel. Share the gospel with you. Do you want your family to go to hell? Does that break your heart to know that? That your family is dying and going to hell, and you know how to go to heaven, and you haven't shared it with them. Many of you, does it break your heart to know that there's ministries, that there's opportunities here at this church that you can be a part of that you're not taking advantage of? And it's been a blessing to get to know your pastor. Don't be a part of a ministry because of him. He don't want you to do that. Don't be a part of a ministry because it's something to look at. Be a part of a ministry because there's hope. Be a part of a ministry because there's hope in there. There's hope behind it. You know, I love the orchestra. I think that's a great thing. I do. I remember I asked, I couldn't see Nathaniel what he was playing. And Alan told me, but like always, I usually don't listen to what he's saying. But Chad told me he's playing the trumpet. And I thought, it just made me think of when we were at South Fort Worth. And he would sit there, and him and another guy, Brother Shane Johnson, and they would play on the trumpet, and Shane would play his trombone. And I love that. And I love to see that your kids do that. Man, that's such a blessing to me. And it really is. Folks, I love that. Be a part of the ministry. If you don't know, if you know how to play an instrument, get up here on Sunday night. I don't know if you've got as many as you want, but you'd take more, right? Amen. Get up here if you know how to do something. And I'm going to tell you something. You can be a blessing to others. That's a blessing to a preacher. That's a blessing to see that people are wanting to share the talents God's given them. God's given you something. Folks, we've got to get the gospel out tonight. Tonight. Many of you need to go home. When we leave here, you need to go home. You need to tell your family. You need to call them if you can't go over there. You need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Some of them, I'm telling you, some of them, you don't know what could happen.
That's right.
They could lose their life. Amen, Brother Wayne, Miss Susie.
Amen.
Nobody ever thought in two weeks, that young man would be getting out of the service. Wouldn't be a problem. I mean, 2 weeks. And God calls him home. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have got to get back to sharing the gospel. We have got to get back to soul winning. And I love that term, soul winning. Jesus told Peter and Andrew, he said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. And you know what? Isn't that exciting to know that the God of creation that would later he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that called them directly, tonight is calling you. He's calling you. Are you listening? You have the hope of eternal life. If you're saved tonight, you have the hope of eternal life. You must share that gospel. If you're not saved tonight, I beg, if I could get on my knees to beg you to come down here, if that would do something, I would. I would beg and beg and plead. And there are many other people in this building that would do the same thing. But if you're not saved, or if you've been wondering about your salvation, come and get it right tonight. I'm telling you, we must realize that we have a hope.
Yes, sir.
Hope that's good, a hope that's great, a hope that's powerful, a hope that's gigantic. Folks, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I'm not worthy to even be called a Christian. I'm not even worthy to be called your slave or your servant, but yet you call me your child and your son. And I thank you for that. I pray that you would bless all that was said tonight. I pray, Holy Ghost of God, as you're speaking to hearts right now, I pray that our young people would be listening, that members at this church would be standing up and ready to walk down this aisle and say, wherever you lead, Lord, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do. Whatever you ask, I'll do it, God. I'll talk to my aunt. I'll talk to my cousin. God, I just beg of you that you'd work tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Preacher.
Page 351.
Amen, folks. My hope is built. Nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. As blood was shed for our sins, his righteous sacrifice on our behalf. So grateful that we have a God that provided everything we need, that we could be here this evening with a blessed hope, glorious hope, what has been provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, give heed to the invitation this evening. Whatever the need is, trust that you are confident in your relationship with Christ. That you know where you're going to spend eternity. Your hope rests in Him. Any question? Why leave this place? Why leave this place with that doubt, those questions on your heart? Christian, aren't you grateful? We have such a message, don't we? We don't have bad news to give to folks. We don't have a message of despair. We've got a message of hope, a glorious hope indeed. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Closer to his side, I sought his will to know, and in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so.
Yes, he does. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He is my master, Lord, and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen. I don't know anything about Plano. I'll be honest with you, brother. I don't know anything about Plano. I've done my best to stay away from that part of this of the Metroplex. And your dear wife's agreeing with me in that. But I'm thankful that God's still raising up preachers. Amen. Still raising up these families, willing to go where the need is. You know, it's Texas, as Brother Hudson likes to say, the buckle on the Bible belt. But there's still needs. And these growing areas like Plano and other places over there, yonder, that's the need for gospel preaching churches. Churches are just still standing for what we talked about this morning. The truth. The truth of the Word of God. Amen. Will you be praying for this dear family? We're praying that what the Lord would have us do as well. So you pray. Again, I don't know what their... I've got that sheet, tossing what their plans are, how they're trying to lay it out. But God has a way of shaking those things all up too. But we'll pray that God will get them to exactly where He wants them. And that He's preparing hearts on that end of the road even now. Amen. Amen. It's been good. Brother John, come.
Let's sing Victory in Jesus.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.